Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Wednesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. I promise I'll get to your text here over the next few segments. Just keep them coming. And as always, usually, unless it's at the very, very end of the show, you get your voice heard. That's the best way to contact the program. Still to come, Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery. One of our Wednesday regulars will be with us. Also, Paul DeMarco, and we'll talk state legislative politics. Always a fascination there. Joining us now, however, always kind to come on this show, and we always appreciate his time and making time for this program. Jerry Carl, our congressman here in what will is still the first congressional district for now. But Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am fantastic. How about you?
It's just always like staying busy. So there's a lot to try to pretend that I'm an expert on. So that keeps me.
Yeah, I saw you in Montgomery. What was it, Saturday? And then been watching your posts, and you were there in Hoover.
Yes. Was it a Hoover City Council? Hoover City Council meeting on Monday. Well, we had the delegates on Saturday. Took a break on Sunday to write a Lanyap column and do some other things. And then on Monday, there was the Hoover City Council stuff. Yesterday was the legislature, and we're finally back at the Fairhope Bureau today, finally.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, you and I haven't really talked about this a whole lot, but I am curious to hear what you think. This stuff going on college campuses and, you know, the weird sort of offshoot of the Hamas-Israel conflict there. I mean, it's really impacting our domestic politics in ways that we probably couldn't have foreseen. And you start to hear a lot of chatter in Congress about, well, maybe we need to look at some of these actors in this and, you know, kind of question how this came to be. What do you make of what's going on around the country?
Well, Jeff, I'm old enough to remember the 60s when all the kids were, you know, taking campuses over, but they didn't destroy and tear things up that I remember. I mean, there was a lot of protests, and I'm all about protests. You've been in Washington enough to know there's protesters. Somebody's always protested something up here, and I'm very open-minded to that. But this has moved to a new level. You know, when they're defacing, you know, some of our landmarks, and they're just blatantly stopping traffic and breaking laws, and that's on a whole different level. I think we do need to figure out who's funding it. So many of these different protests look alike. Same signs, same tent, same everything. So there's got to be some people funding it. What do you do? You just expose it. I mean, I don't think there's any law broke by funding it. But you know, I met with AIPAC when this first started. I went with them over to Israel, and I know you've heard me tell the story of playing with those very kids that got a lot of them were decapitated. My wife and I played with those kids. So when Hamas attacked Israel, AIPAC called me immediately and talked to me about it. They said they would lose the propaganda war that was going to break out. They knew that. So, and that's what we're looking at now. I mean, it's just negative, negative, negative. They follow us down the halls. We get out on the streets. They're following us in the streets, sticking cameras in our face and doing, you know, pretty much what they want to do. I'm fine with it until they touch me. When they touch me, I guess it'll be on. But I think we need to figure it out. I think some of these professors that are actually pushing this that are on payroll, they need to pay a price. Because we don't need to teach kids to antagonize and aggravate and be disrespectful. It's okay to have an opinion. It's okay to protest that opinion and be heard. We want to hear it because you may actually learn something from it. Maybe not this protest, but any protest. But to track people down and to deface public property, we can't do that. What's the difference between that and January 6th?
Right. Well, they would just say the venue and it might be in the Capitol, but you know, it's I find it hard to believe this, and I'm just cynical by nature, that this is a serious issue, what's going on over there, and I'm not trying to downplay it at all, But I fail to believe that a 18 to 22 year old college student cares this much about what's going on over there.
Well, you know, from 18 to 22, you're not real smart, Jeff. You know, your parents are the dumbest creatures on earth. You know, it's that period of time that, you know, you're smarter than the whole world. I get it. I truly get it. But, you know, my parents taught me, my mother taught me to be respectful of other people and people's property. And I was not the best of kids growing up. And I talk freely about it, especially to my own children. But what they're doing is, it's like they had no parents. You know, maybe there'll be some parents brought out there in jail.
But Congressman, like when you were 18, when you were that age range, well, I'm going to speak for myself here because I don't know. But that was like a list of Jeff Poor priorities in those formative years at Auburn University. Going out to the Hamas Israel protests or whatever the protests would have been of the late 90s would have been somewhere down between like straightening out my 8-track collection and learning about astronomy. It's just like, you know, you look at what's going on in your average college student's life and this just seems like it just seems so fake and astroturfish and people looking for like meaning in their life. And maybe it is like looking up to college professors or whatever, but it's a phenomenon that's just very peculiar to me.
Well, it's a great time for parents to have a teaching moment. If you sit your kid on that TV and they're one of those that are defacing, again, if they're protesting, more power to them. But if they're literally defacing and being a part of that and encouraging that, some parents need to have some conversation. Pull them out of school. I mean, if I caught them defacing, they'd be out of school, period. If I was in control of anything, get them out. But you hadn't got to get rid of about one or two. I don't want to give any names or anything, but I had dinner with one of the presidents of a major university the other night, and they were worried about Columbia, and he asked me what I thought. I said, well, the first thing I'd do is shut the water and the power off. And just control the doors going in and out. And I said, once their phones run out of power, they will panic. They will not know what to do. They will come out of that building like ants. And it's true. You think about it. That's a good way to bring it to an end. And then go and do what you need to do to clean up. Nobody wants violence. Nobody wants to hurt anybody. But, you know, the age of those kids, everything evolves around their mode of communication, which is their cell phones.
Well, Coach, or Senator Tuberville and I were talking about this Saturday, and I think this is a possibility. The kind of college students that these universities are bringing in from abroad, that maybe this plays a role. Who's getting student visas? Now he insists that the Chinese are way more of a threat overall to the country, but is it possible that some of these anti-Israel, anti-Jewish views are being imported to our college campuses?
Well, you look at a lot of the leaders in foreign countries, and they went to school in the United States. I can't give you one for example, but I remember meeting, I want to say it was the King Jordan's son. I was at a dinner with him. I want to say he went to school in New York City. And I may be totally off on that. I'm trying to jar my memory. But you know, it's sad when we can't get our local kids, our citizens, into these and the foreign students take over. I think they are mandatory to take a certain amount of foreign students. I'm not sure about that. Federal government's got so many things they impose on our education system, and the coach should obviously know a whole lot more than I do about that. You know, I'm a big supporter of higher education, but I'm also a big supporter of teaching kids trades. You know, I've spoke to many young people about what they're going to do in the future, and I always use the example of, you know, when I graduated, those of us who could afford it, we went to school, college. The ones that couldn't afford it went to a trade school and learned a trade. Here I am still working, and a buddy of mine that learned to be an electrician. He's retired and lives on the top floor of a condo over in Orange Beach. And they kind of understand that. You know, they kind of get it because right now it's all about money and their futures. And so, you know, the trades are so important. But I know I'm chasing a rabbit down a hole there. But we need to put less emphasis on higher education in this country and more focus on learning the trade. I mean, that's a lifetime job. You'll never be without a job if you're a plumber or electrician, period.
Well, and you're right. But, you know, when I was growing up, it was always this. And you know, Congressman, you know, you get a college education and you're going to be made for life. And my grandparents, you know, they didn't even finish high school. The college was just like insane to think about. And so we got in a place where everybody, it wasn't just like, okay, you should go to college. I guess after the GI Bill and World War II, a lot of people who didn't get to go to college got to go to college. But sometime in the 80s, 90s, they said, well, everybody should go to college. And as you could tell, like that policy decision of making that available has had pretty big implications on the U.S. economy.
Well, I don't proudly say this, but, you know, I made it through one quarter of college. And actually made the grades, but I knew I didn't want to sit there for 4 years and do what I was doing. So I left and got busy trying to figure out, you know, another route, which my route has always been in sales and marketing and people. You know, I've made a living off of, you know, encouraging people, motivating people to sell, doing what I do with people. But I've met so many people in my life that never got a college education. You know, it's got a ton of common sense. And it takes us a long way. I respect people that do. And certainly up here in Washington, especially, you're surrounded by some brilliant young people. They really are just top notch and they're our future. But don't underestimate that kid that had to struggle between 18 and 22 to dig out, you know, a future. And, those are the ones going to wind up owning, Yellowwood or some big corporation that we all think they just fell into. They didn't. They had to work very good on it.
Joined by Congressman Jerry Carl here from the 1st Congressional District for a few more minutes. Congressman, as we head into this election cycle, I mean, it still looks like to me, and I know you've been on the campaign trail, but there on Capitol Hill, still seems to, the ticket still seems to be about what's going on down at the southern border.
It's all about the southern border. It's scary. It truly is. Nothing has changed. Our conversation Saturday, nothing's going to change until we get Biden out of the way. We've got, you know, the HR2 that's been there in the Senate. They won't even bring it up. That's an answer to all of it. But nothing's going to change until election time and we get Biden out of the way. My biggest fear right now is all the money that's sitting dormant that has not been spent. If Biden loses in November, you'll see him rushing to throw all that money out into the economy, just totally waste it. We're talking billions, hundreds of billions of dollars that we could actually pull back and put into, hey, maybe some infrastructure projects like a bridge in Mobile across the bay. And then we can do other things with that money other than waste it on these startup solar cell companies that just seem to pop up and get a lot of money and then disappear. But, you know, on the positive side, you know, we're getting some stuff accomplished here. I put me a punch list together of things I wanted to get accomplished before I leave here in January. Underwater Forest, in which Bradley Burns actually started it when he was in office, I finally got it through the House Natural Resource Committee on markup, so it'll come up on the floor in the near future. We've just co-sponsored Save Our Shrimpers Act, which will protect us from government money going to foreign shrimpers. As strange that may sound, our shrimpers are getting $1.10, $1.15 per pound at the dock when the Vietnamese can ship it over here for less than that because we're actually subsidizing their shrimp. So we've got to stop that. We've got to stop our money from going to foreign shrimp corporations. So that's some of the things we're still fighting on.
Hey,
we got a big one. We got a big one today to watch. A big one today. Today we will vote on the citizenship question on the census. Most people don't realize that that Mobile, for example, the population there should be based on citizens. But now the way it's set up, they've taken the citizenship question out, so it would actually be larger. And where's that important? Somewhere like San Diego would have a 10 to 12% larger population, so they would get they would have more of an advantage when it comes to members here in Congress.
Right.
So what we'll vote on today is actually put that citizenship question back in there and not allow the citizens to be actually counted in the census. That's an important thing today, and we feel pretty confident that was going to pass.
Real quick, we'll get you out of here on this. Mike Johnson, Speaker, he's hanging in there. I mean, he is, I think, you know, and how he's doing it, we could debate the merits of, but it's impressive that he's withstanding a lot of these I don't know, sort of right flank offenses.
If Mike Johnson was not so strong in his faith, I doubt he could do what he's doing. But he's strong enough in his faith that he's just walking blindly into some of this, and it's working. It is truly working. And I feel for him. I talk to him on the floor quite often. I encourage him. I pray for him. I do everything I'm supposed to do. But he's got a lot of harpoons right now being thrown at him by people that have got no business talking about anybody. They need to get their own stuff cleaned up first. Mike's impressive. He's a godly man. He's here for all the right reasons. I said that long before the speaker. I was friends of his, been a friend of his for a while. So he's the right man for the times. He truly is.
Congressman, we always appreciate your time. Stay safe up there, and let's catch up again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Good talking to you, buddy. Take care.
Thank you. Congressman Jerry Carl there. We got to get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. I know just where-